You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I am joined by Jordan Bastian, and the Indians had some big news this week with the demotion of the left-hand side of their infield. Jose Ramirez, not totally surprisingly, demoted to AAA. A little more surprising was the demotion of Lonnie Chisenhall. Obviously, Chisenhall's numbers weren't up to snuff, but you thought he'd have a little bit of a longer leash. But the Tribe made the move for Giovanni Urshela and for Zach Walters. And you'll notice I did not mention the name Francisco Lindor. Jordan Bastian, what's up with that? Where's Lindor?
He's at AAA.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I guess I knew that.
I know. I think everyone kind of assumed that when we heard the news that Ramirez was optioned to AAA, which we all felt was coming, we maybe felt it was going to come weeks ago, we thought that would kind of automatically trigger the promotion of Lindor from AAA for his first taste of the big leagues. But talking to GM Chris Antonetti, they still feel the timing is not exactly right. He said this wasn't a driving force, but Lindor has been banged up of late, dealing with some core and hand minor issues, nothing that's keeping him out of the lineup, but something that where he's not at full strength. And when a guy has such heightened expectations and everything that goes along with that, obviously maybe in an ideal situation you want him at full strength. Again, I don't think that was necessarily the reason. I think they still would like to see more offensive consistency at a higher level from him. He obviously won the International League's Player of the Week this week, so he had a good week. But I think they'd like to see more good weeks stretched together in a row and maybe some things that you can't find in a box score that he's working on cleaning up in the field in terms of his development, things like that. So, yeah, I don't think we're far off. As we've talked multiple times on many of these podcasts, maybe we felt should have been weeks ago that Lindor was up to provide a spark. But, the Indians kind of found their rhythm at the major league level, kind of climbing back into this division race, getting near to 500. And he's getting a little more development down on the farm, and maybe he'll be up here soon. But for the time being, it looks like Mike Avilas will continue on as the regular shortstop, which he had been for much of the last week already. And we'll see what Gio Urshela can provide at third base. He's a plus defender. He's got great contact rate. Doesn't strike out a lot, but he doesn't walk a lot either. So hopefully he can continue to give solid defense at third, which Chisenhall had been doing this year. But potentially he could be an upgrade and a right-handed bat, which the Indians always want more of. It'll be interesting to see. I was a little surprised by the Chisenhall move as well. But again, as you mentioned, when you look at his numbers, it's really not that surprising, especially when he has an option left.
Yeah, what do you think happened to Chis? I mean, we're talking this week, I believe, is the one-year anniversary of his ridiculous game in Texas, the 9 RBI game, and mm-hmm. I don't know if he had 9 RBIs since then. That's an exaggeration. I think he had 19 this year. Obviously been a different player since the first half of last season. Did you see it getting in his head a bit? You mentioned him making strides defensively, but offensively he went backward. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. He worked so hard over the winter and the spring on his defense because that was such a trouble area last year. And if you look at his defensive metrics and even his base running metrics, not that he was getting on base a ton, but he was near the top of the American League in both of those areas. So he was doing well in the, hey, if I'm not hitting, I'll at least provide something in these other areas. Honestly, I kind of go back to when he was off to that ridiculous start before that Texas game. He was hitting about .390. Francona was using him in a very specific manner, and that was almost exclusively against right-handed pitching. And then very rarely would he play against a lefty. And when he was sort of in that, maybe not a strict platoon, but sort of in that part-time, regular third baseman, and pick your spots for the other situations. You know, he really thrived when he was being used that way. And it's kind of one of those baseball catch-22s. He performed to a point where he earned more playing time, but then by earning more playing time, I felt he became a little more overexposed, seeing more lefties, things like that. This year, obviously, he earned that everyday job in spring training based on what he did overall last season. And again, I think maybe there's just some overexposure there. And, you know, he talks a lot about being a feel hitter, and he just never had a feel for that swing. So maybe he can go down and get a feel for it, go down to AAA. He did this a couple years ago, went down, hit about 390 for, you know, a couple weeks, and they brought him back up, and, you know, he performed better. So we'll see what happens with Chisenhall. I don't think he's down in AAA for the rest of the year. I think he'll be back up at some point. And I mean, obviously, that's the ideal scenario, given his experience in the big leagues and, you know, what the Indians are trying to accomplish.
Well, the entire left side of the field is kind of in flux for them, from the standpoint that Michael Brantley is obviously still dealing with the back situation that cropped up in spring training. Missed some time early in the year, and then lately he's been DHing more frequently. Is that just something that it looks as though it's something they're going to have to navigate their way through for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. He hasn't looked like himself offensively for the last couple weeks, and the guy's still hitting 304. So, I mean, that kind of shows you, even when he's not right, he's still able to go out there and perform for this team. And I think that's why Francona is trying everything he can to keep this guy in the lineup. And you got to give Brantley a lot of credit, too, because I think, you know, some other players might just say, hey, let me have a DL stint. Let me take 2 weeks, try and rest this thing again, which in the spring, if you remember at the beginning of the spring, he was held out for a while while he dealt with this issue. Came back, flared up again late in spring. You know, he missed some games early in the regular season. But I think this is going to be one of those things that it just seems like an injury that's going to need to be maintained and throughout the season. And Francona and Brantley are going to have to work to pick spots to kind of find ways to give him a little rest. So that's what we've seen over the last week, where he's been DHing some, you know, with the off day on Monday. The Indians sat him on Sunday to try and have him those 2 days back-to-back off. So I think they're going to have to kind of continue to do that as we get later in the season, as they continue to pick spots in order to keep him in the lineup. Because what they don't want is to, you know, put him out there more than they need. This thing flares too bad, and now he's going to be missing a prolonged period of time. So that's what they're trying to avoid with the way they've been using him lately.
Well, JB, in the spirit of this being MLB draft week, and we're recording this before the draft gets started, so we can't get into what the Indians did exactly at number 17 overall, but Brantley is a perfect example of what a crapshoot this thing can be, because he was in that very deep 2005 class, really an awesome class. Troy Tulowitzki and Andrew McCutchen, Justin Upton was in that group, Alex Gordon, Ryan Braun, Ryan Zimmerman. What a class, man. But yeah, as deep as it was, you still wouldn't expect a player at 205 overall to finish third in the MVP voting at any point. So it just shows you what a strange phenomenon the MLB draft can be.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think we all did these stories last year where we looked at top picks by each round for the first 15 rounds for each team. And, you know, looking at the Indians, I think Jim Tomey was selected in, what, the 13th round? You know, I said, yeah, that kind of shows one of the greatest sluggers in history. You know, obviously, everybody knows the Mike Piazza tale, being selected so late, and that guy turns into a, you know, should-be Hall of Famer. You know, it is a crapshoot. You never know. I think 17th is actually kind of a good spot to be in, especially for a team like the Indians that loves that best player available approach. You know, you can identify a handful of guys at that point and have a good shot at getting one of them, especially in a draft like this, where I don't think it looks like there's that clear cut, oh, yeah, this guy's going number one. You know, it seems like there's a pretty deep draft in that first round. It seems like whether you're picking 5th or picking 10th, or picking 17th, you might get a guy that, you know, could have gone higher, could have gone lower. So Yeah, I think the Indians are in a good spot, and you know, you gotta give them credit for the last few years, the last few drafts. It looks like they've been getting some better prospects and getting higher ratings from national publications and whatnot. Because I'd say prior to the Brad Grant era, there was kind of a long stretch of bad draft picks for this organization. Fans know it all too well. But recent years, you know, you've had Jason Kipnis, a second rounder, turned into what he has. You know, so they've done really well middle of the late rounds for relievers, guys like Cody Allen. Vinny Pistano, when he was here, you know, was a really late draft pick, had some success at the big league level. You know, Chisholm Hall, who we talked about, he's now back in AAA, but, I mean, he's had some success. So they've done better in recent years, and it'll be interesting to see a guy like Lindor or Clint Frazier, Naquin, Brad Zimmer, these guys who kind of rising up through the system, see what they can do in the years to come. But, yeah, it should be interesting to see what they do. I'm going to go out on a limb and say they take the best player available tonight.
The best player, the top player on their board. Right. Actually, it's looking like the fifth rounder from 2009, Austin Adams, is becoming a nice weapon in that bullpen. And what's interesting there is he was drafted. So he's drafted in the fifth round by the Indians in 2009. In 2008, he was drafted in the, I want to say, the high 20s by the Brewers as a shortstop. And a year later, the Indians draft him as a reliever. And now here we are 6 years after that, and he's making an impact in the bullpen. So it's a weird one. But the MLB draft is a weird one, folks. all right, JB, so things are trending upward in general for the Indians, a new left-hand side of the infield. And then one last note, kind of a real nice thing, where the owner of the club shaves his head in honor of Mike Avilas' daughter battling leukemia. I thought that was a very nice gesture. It just goes to show really all segments of the organization being touched by this little girl and her fight with Paul Dolan submitting to the Clippers over the weekend.
Yeah, that was really cool. And it was cool that Avilas was the one who, you know, shaved Paul Dolan's head in the dugout there. Thought it was a pretty nice moment. You know, good gesture by the owner who, you know, the owner, we all know, he's a guy that doesn't like to be out in front and in front of the cameras. But he, you know, came down, was there in the dugout and, you know, kind of wanted to join in the team. He spoke about how before the season began, the team and the players had talked about what it means to be a good teammate. And, you know, with everything that he's seen from his players, he said what they've done to support Avilas right now means as much to him as any of the wins do. So he wanted to join in. And, you know, we asked Francona about it, and he said that Chris Antonetti and his guys need to join in too. He thinks they're all being a bunch of big babies. But everyone's shaving their heads, staff members, coaches, players. And, you know, it's been pretty cool to see. It's one of those moments where, you know, you realize that this is just a game and there's things that are a lot more serious and things that matter a lot more than, you know, a winner or loss in the standings.
Absolutely. And Avilas, of course, is now a prominent player on this club. Sounds like he'll continue to handle most of the shortstop duties after a significant series of moves early in the week. I want to thank Jordan Bastian for joining us to talk about all that. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.